Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and Podcast, and I'm also a broker and senior risk manager at StoneX. We deal in the grain markets, energy, livestock, and dairy, futures and options, OTC and structured products, cash markets, and consulting. If you have any questions for me or your client here and interested in what we're doing, give me a call. The number is 312-706-7610. If you're not a client and interested in working with us, you can contact me too. My contact information is in the show notes. Email here is craig.turner@stonex.com. You can reach me that way too. If you like the podcast, please give us a review on iTunes. Also, feel free to send along to anyone you might like it. If you want to check out the newsletter, just go to turnerstake.com. You can check it out there. And so let's get into it today. Thanks for everyone for listening. Start with the macro markets. So recently we saw the Fed chairman Powell was saying that it is going to be about time to taper, but they're not for interest rates. They're going to look for, they say, full employment, but we're practically there in terms of how the government defines employment. So we should see that, and we will see. Wouldn't be surprised if the stock market rallies into the end of the year, especially as earnings come out, revenues come out. Should be beneficial. The taper will kick in, but interest rates will stay low or lowish, though they'll probably rise a little bit, and that'll be the backdrop here. Without any kind of big crash event or something to come out of left field. We're thinking the macro markets will relatively stay steady. Dollar should stay high. And really, probably the most pressing topic will be inflation. So let's spend a little bit of time on that. Inflation is real. It is going on. You can see in a lot of the price indices. You can see it in the energy markets, the food market. I'm sure if you go to the pump or the supermarket, you're seeing that inflation, and in other goods and services too, some more than others, but it is definitely there. There's a couple things I just want to go. There's some confusion out there, I think, about price inflation. Now, overall, a lot of printing of money and issuing of debt will lead to more dollars in the system and will lead to higher prices, especially if you increase any kind of assistance, if you have more people on unemployment, and that's from one side of the spectrum. All the way to the other side of the spectrum is buying debt, keeping interest rates low, bailing out businesses, markets, real estate firms, whatever it may be. All that contributes in the end to the money sloshing around there, and that can lead to inflation. Now, some inflation has been greater than others. The two I think that really or three that stick out a lot. One is ag prices. We all see where wheat is, corn, soybeans, the livestock. You go to the grocery store, there is a lot higher prices than we've seen. And I think what we need to realize is that part of that's, the money side, the inflation. Part of it really is supply and demand, though. A couple of years ago, we had the trade war with China. We had swine flu or swine fever in China, and in 2018 and into 2019, we just had lower demand globally and in the United States for a lot of ag, and then we had the pandemic with COVID-19, and that depressed things. So as we came back out of that, after basically a two-year bearish cycle, and we came out of COVID-19, and there was no more tariffs, and swine flu was dealt with, I think what we saw was just this big demand that chewed through existing supplies, and we still haven't been able to catch up yet. So should, you know, all things held equal, has there been inflation in agriculture? There has been, but there has been a cyclical change, you know, from where prices got too low and we stopped producing as much, and now it's going to take some time to catch up. And there is that part of it too. So it's not just, I think, the supply and demand, the tightness of corn, wheat, and soybeans, which is really, you can make an argument for like canola and wheat, like spring wheat. Those are weather issues. Like, you know, we had such bad weather in a lot of producing areas that we're going to be that high. You know, corn and soybeans too, you know, those we are tight. We are tight in those balance sheets. So that is something to keep in mind and remember, but I'm sure part of it, you know, who knows, maybe if there's been 5 or 10% inflation, maybe, actually, hold on 1 second. Let's do a little math here. All right, so if you do have 5% inflation in soybeans at $10, that's 50 cents. But we did run up to 14 or 15 bucks, right, over the summer. You know, corn, when corn's trading at $3, you know, or $4, let's say, you know, 5% inflation is 20 cents. Corn ran up more than 20 cents, right, from $4. So inflation's part of it. Even if you say 5 or you want to double those numbers, but more of it had to do with the supply and demand situation. While, and then also something like energy has really run up too. And energy's, I mean, crude oil has been going up since the election. And I think that was a part of a couple of things. We were coming out of COVID, right? And the vaccine rates were going higher and businesses were opening up. So that was number one. Number two is energy policy did shift in the United States a little bit, where we're not going to explore so much for fossil fuel, like you know, opening up for new leases on federal lands. And there is a big push to just have more renewable and clean energy, which is all fine and dandy as long as you can keep supply to keep pace with supply, keeps pace with demand. And that is not what's been happening. So yes, there's been some inflationary pressures on the energy markets because of the currency situation and the money situation out there. But a lot of the price increase in natural gas and crude is very much, the majority of it is the supply and demand. Now, on the crude side, right now we don't have the shale operators to ramp up enough to bring prices down. I think OPEC knows that. I think that's why OPEC isn't adding to supply right now, because they don't have to. They started basically an energy war with the U.S. shale providers when they came online to drive down prices so much that pretty much put them out of business or stop exploration technology development for shale. And that was effective, and we saw low prices for a long time. Now that prices are higher, you know, I think the best way to know is if shale is coming back online or investments going into it, we'll see more production, is when OPEC sees it and they'll start producing more, right? It's kind of a cynical way to look at it, but if you look at how they've been operating for the past 20 or 30 years, that would make the most sense of how they would go about this. So could crude go to 95 or 100? It could. If it does, I wouldn't call it inflation in terms of, you know, hyperinflation like we see with you know, Venezuela or something like that. I think it really has to do more of, we have policies in place that discourage fossil fuel exploration. And if you're going to create green and clean energy, that's great, but it has to keep up with the demand side. And if it doesn't, you know, you do have to have some kind of exploration and development of fossil fuel energy until the green and the clean energy can basically keep up with demand. The supply of that green and clean energy can keep up with demand. Until then, you still have to have, you know, you still have to develop fossil fuels and the extraction and use of that. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And, you know, Russia commented on that. And you see China now backing away from some things where they have in the past also been very pro clean energy and renewable energy. And again, that's great, but you can't put all your eggs in one basket there. And I think what we're seeing now is they're really ramping up coal production in China. I'm sure in the United States, if prices get high enough, we'll see more of a utilization of fossil fuels. The world does know that you can't replace all coal, you know, tomorrow. So I think they have to, they also have picked the cleanest of the fossil fuels to use for supply, and that is natural gas. And what we've seen in Europe is a huge increase as demand has been outpacing the supply side of that too. So in the United States here, and this is a shoulder month, mild temperatures. This is when, it's kind of like this is when prices should be lowest as we go into winter. And here we are, we have another 60-cent rally in natural gas today, and we're at $6 again. What I like to remind people about natural gas is it is a wild contract. It can make soybeans look tame. Not, when I remember 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, natural gas and silver used to be the biggest, baddest contracts on the street. They would just move ferociously. Two things happened, I think, to those contracts. One, silver has lost its luster over the years, primarily because of crypto. You see so much money going into crypto. I mean, the reason why gold and silver probably haven't rallied like they did after we had the Lehman Brothers and the subprime crisis, because silver went to 50 and gold doubled over that time. And we're not seeing that again because all that money, all that investment money is now, or a lot of it, I shouldn't say all of it, but so much of it is going into crypto these days as an inflation hedge and also partially into commodities. But I think you see that pure get me out of the dollar and into gold and silver is now get me out of the dollar and get me into some form of crypto. Whether that's right or wrong, we'll see. But that is definitely the trend and what the money flow suggests. And then on the other side, we have natural gas, which back in, I'm going to say, 04 to 09, that time frame, I'm going to have to look at a 20-year chart. But natural gas, $6 used to be support and 14 was resistance, and it spent most of its time, from 8 to $12. A lot of $10 natural gas back then, 8, 9, 10, $11 natural gas. Right now we're at 6. I've been talking to some people recently, and there's this thought that like that's the high, like the 650 is the high, and they're only looking back like 5 years on the chart or something like that. You really need to go back to the 2000s and see what was going on with natural gas back then to get a real idea of what a tight natural gas market looks like. Can we get back there? I don't know. But I do know that with October 25th, we've got tight stocks and have these wild markets now. And even though the government is calling for warmer than normal winter, doesn't mean you can have some cold spells there. The weather can change and you can get some pretty high demand in the Northern Hemisphere. Not just the United States and Canada, but also in Europe. The propane market could be tight again when natural gas had those big years. I remember there were issues where propane can be even a tighter market sometimes just because of the way propane flows, it's harder to get to. You don't have these big pipelines. A lot of it's localized, so it has to be delivered. A lot of times through truck, and a lot of operations that use propane because they're not on the grid, for a lot of things, then it can be tough to get to and tough to service. So the propane market will be interesting to watch. That doesn't really trade so much on the futures market, but the natural gas is usually a good way to follow it. I think I want to say two-thirds of propane is derived from natural gas in this country. Maybe the other third is petroleum, but a large majority of propane is derived from natural gas. So that'll be interesting to see too. If natural gas does break through, 650 goes to $7. Like I said, it doesn't take a whole lot to get it higher in that market, or it didn't back then. So I'm not saying we're going there now. It's only October 25th, but when we get into November, but really December, January, and February, and like how cold it can be for how long in January, February, and we're already in the sixes here. This could be just a very wide $5 to 650 could just be a very wide ranging consolidation zone for natural gas until we know more about the weather and supply and demand in the United States and in Europe. So just something to keep in mind. The natural gas and energy, and again too, so that's not, and I know it's higher, so you can argue inflation, but inflation in terms of supply and demand, and if and when the thing with hyperinflation is prices never really come back down. With the inflation that we see in energy and ag, while they may not go down to the cost that they were 2 or 3 years ago, they could come down substantially as soon as the supply side starts to get sorted out. And I know we got supply chain issues. That's nothing new. You see that around all the time. I'm just in my local store noticing, in whether it be Target or Walmart, or in my local supermarket, the shelves aren't as there's plenty of things on the shelves, but they're not nearly as stocked as they used to be. So that's been interesting too, and I think that's more of a and that and you can see that from the supply side of the supply chain. So I did my Christmas shopping early on a personal note. We my wife started last week, and we hope to get it done by October, by basically the end of October, which is a record for us. We're usually like not getting started on it until we're all with our family on Thanksgiving, but I don't know. I don't want to have a bunch of disappointed kids come Christmas time, so I better do it now. So that's a little side note from me. So, anyways, talking about natural gas is a natural lead way into fertilizer. It is high cost. Now, it still makes sense for a lot of farmers out there, to buy it if they can get it at those prices. But if natural gas keeps on going higher and fertilizer prices keep on going higher, or if there's just an availability issue, or what if you only you try to really stretch that fertilizer and chemicals and use maybe as half as you used to or three quarters of you used to. We could be seeing some things that impact yield, and whether it be just on the acre side or less inputs, less chemicals and fertilizer for the crop. It is something to keep in mind. So I take a look at the grain markets. Demand is picking up, but it hasn't picked up enough in the United States to justify some of these export numbers. That doesn't mean that it can't or it won't, but we need a lot more soybean demand to come in. I think the hurricane really hurt the project may really hurt the projections here. Any kind of buying did gets that South America, any supply South America did have, they use that opportunity in September and in October to basically sell as much as they can and eat into the US marketing year. So I would not be shocked if the USDA adjusted export demand a little bit on one of these next WASDEs. It'll be very interesting to see where we are in January, because that's when the USDA would typically make a major revision. Again, there's time for that, right? We're only in October 25th, but we need to see strong exports. So the USDA, I'd be surprised if they make huge adjustments in November and December. They typically don't. The next report to really be aware of is January, but and usually what happens in this time of year is you get the rallies from South America weather rally, you get the export demand rallies or not, right? If you don't get the demand, then the market starts leaking lower. So I think that's where we are with corn, wheat, and soybeans. The wheat market will have support here. We are very tight. We're going to be tight on spring wheat and the high protein wheat. Prices in Europe are higher. And the United States wheat will be competitive probably in this December, January, February timeframe. So that'll be supportive for the wheat market, considering how high wheat is priced around the world. What I would say about wheat is we do make wheat for export in major exporting nations once a quarter, unlike soybean, unlike let's say soybeans, which is probably every 6 months, right? And corn somewhere in the middle. Corn market. Probably a lot of support now at $5. If we rally to six or higher, it's going to be because the other markets are higher. It'll be helped out by wheat, and you get South American weather issues. Can't maybe the yields look at 176. The yields, I talked to farmers, it's a little bit worse in the Midwest, a little bit better up in the Northern Plains. It probably all cancels each other out a little bit. 1.5 billion carry on corn. Probably pretty good. The 300s for soybeans. There are analysts out there making the case where soybean ending stocks could be closer to 400 or 500 million, and that is totally because of the export situation. So will the USDA be that fast to decrease exports? Will they do it gradually and see if the lower prices get bought up? Does China start to come back here in a big way? I don't know, but it is a big question here. And we haven't seen this rally in soybeans lately. And a lot of it's because of these rumors of China buying beans, whether it be off the Pacific coast or off the Gulf. I think recently it's been the Pacific Northwest. So soybeans again probably have a lot of support in the mid 11s. Resistance is going to be 13 and a half, definitely 14. It's going to be hard to break through. It's going to be hard to break through 13. I for in terms of marketing, I like selling new crop soybeans at 1250. I think we're gonna have a ton of acres. If new crop corn gets to 550, I like selling that against this for farmers who already made sales and want to have a buyback, or you want to have some courage calls to sell into. I like the $6. I would start looking at $6 calls in corn, and probably 14 for soybeans, 13 for soybeans. I'm more bullish corn and wheat than I am soybeans at the moment, and that really is just because South America has been able to get a lot more demand than we thought during the shutdowns here from the Gulf exports, and also I'm just expecting a lot more acres because of the input cost and fertilizer issues that I really think we're going to see for this next crop year. Let's see, is there anything else? There is one other thing I want to talk about, the supply chain. It is, again, we're having issues with the supply chain, and it's tough to get a handle, I think, sometimes through traditional media of what's going on there. It is a mix of policy out in California. It is also, when you can't basically deliver or can't use the ports out there, and then you have to reroute through Panama Canal and the Gulf, that costs a lot of money. That increases costs. There is labor shortages. That is part of it. And you just kind of hope at some point here, push comes to shove, and some of these things holding back the supply chains can get fixed, because a lot of the issues are could be fixed at a snap of a finger. Or I shouldn't, that's too, a lot of things could be fixed just through policy, and just through how we deal with unemployment benefits, how we deal with regulation at the ports, and some other trade issues in the supply chain. It would be nice to see the government relax some things to get things going. It's usually a happy medium. I mean, they probably have good intent on why they have some of the regulation that they do, but if it gets too tight and too cumbersome, we end up seeing the results, of the supply chain right now. Same thing that's going on in the energy markets. So there is a yin and the yang of all this, but I would say that things probably end up getting better on the supply chain once we get through the next couple of months. It also the energy markets, unfortunately, are going to stay high until spring. I don't, even if we start pumping and doing exploration and OPEC, unless OPEC gets involved in a very big way, the crude oil market probably stays in the 70s and 80s for a while. And natural gas, just getting the natural gas production up in order to stay with demand and even the supply being greater than demand is probably not going to happen until the spring. So that's an issue too. Hope good news is they can get the supply chain issues probably sorted out faster than the energy. So hopefully they can do that. So that's it. If you have any questions, let me know. If we want to talk about energy trading, grain trading, livestock, dairy, whether from the spec or the hedge side, producer or end user, my number is 312-706-7610. Also email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. Any clients here, if you like what you hear, you're gonna add on to a position or you need to do something else, or speak with me, just let me know. I will talk to everyone next week. Have a good one, and talk to you soon. talk to you.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.